Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it has already been just being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the prophet Elijah. And what a very powerful prophet Elijah was in the Old Testament. Mentioned quite a few times in the New Testament, and also I believe he's even going to take a part in something that's going to be taking place during the after the rapture of the church. And I think he is found there in the book of Revelation, have been one of the two witnesses. But anyway, what a blessing it has been to studying the life of Elijah and what God has preserved for us so that we might learn truths from his life. And that's why we have the record of the Old Testament and all the different examples and the Bible characters, so we might learn from them. And so tonight we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 down to verse 16. So if you turn there with me, if you'll stand, brother, we'll go ahead and read the Word of God together. Verse 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah, and besought him, and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Before there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s, therefore let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you again tonight, we thank you for this privilege to be in church and for everyone that has taken advantage of the opportunity to be here and is here tonight. I just pray that you give each one of us that insight into this passage of Scripture that we might be able to learn what you would have each one of us to learn tonight. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we continue through our study of Elijah, we find that Elijah pronounced God's judgment upon King Ahaziah. Now, King Ahaziah was King Ahab's son. And after King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings ever to sit on the throne of Israel, died, then King Ahaziah, his son, took his place and continued in the very same evil direction that Ahab had been leading Israel. And so he fell through a latus or out of his palace. He fell down injured greatly. And so instead of looking to God for help, he sent messengers to look to Beelzebub, one of the types of gods of Baal. And as he did that, God told Elijah to go and stop them and told them the message that they were to take back to King Ahaziah. It was not a good message. It was not a message of tender love and care. It was a message of judgment upon your evil deeds and that you would die on your deathbed. That's basically what he told him. Well, no doubt, that's not the message that King Ahaziah wanted to hear. And when he found out who it was that sent the message to him, then he sent his, as we read here tonight, he sent a captain of 50 with his 50 to go and to arrest Elijah and bring him back to the king. Can I tell you, we learned last week that God would have all to seek him. And the best thing for anyone to do when faced with any kind of trials or testings or troubles is to seek the Lord. And because, first of all, if you're lost, he wants you to seek him for salvation, and all can be saved. There's not a person that could not get saved if they would simply seek the Lord and repent of their sins, turn to Jesus Christ, have forgiveness of their sins, and then confess and receive Jesus as Savior. All can be saved. That's what God would have everyone to do. No matter who you are, no matter what's gone on in your life, people around the world need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need to seek him. Amen? And, of course, Missions Month, that's what it's all about, realizing that's what we want to do. We want to give everyone an opportunity to hear the gospel, and we do that by sending missionaries and supporting missions projects and just obeying the Great Commission of going into all the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is what God would have all to do. But especially if you're a Christian, or if you will, the king of God's chosen people, to turn away from God and seek the wrong counsel is a slap in the face to Almighty God. To turn to someone else other than God when you have a need, when you have a situation, when you need help, God says, I'm going to judge that. That is not something that God is going to take lightly. And yet that's exactly what happens. And so we find that's why then that Elijah was sent to tell the king, this is the judgment. Because of what you've done and you've turned your back on God, then God is not going to bring healing to your body. You're going to die on your deathbed because of what you've done. So Ahaziah then attempts to think that he is more powerful than God or Elijah, God's servants, and he sends his men to arrest Elijah. Now, what the first thing we find here is it's the arrogance and disrespect of the first two captains. Okay, now they're following orders, but as they follow the orders of the king, they have the very same mentality as the king. They have the very same thoughts as if, you know, you say you're telling the king he's going to die, then you're an enemy of the king, you're an enemy of the state, and we're going to come after you, basically is what's being said here. So the arrogance and disrespect of the first two captains is found in verse 9 down to verse 12. And, of course, in the Old Testament, the prophets, they did not have the completion of the Word of God as we have it today. The prophets were actually somewhat like the apostles in that they were speaking the very words of God. And so to attack a prophet, a true prophet of God, would be like attacking God. To say something negative about the prophet of God's message would be saying something negative about God's message, because it was God's message that they were to take. And so as we look here, understanding, first of all, the reasons why that Elijah was sought, why the king wanted to go after Elijah. Now, the first thing that we know here is that no doubt he wanted him to be arrested. He wanted him to be more than likely tortured, beaten on the way home. They were not going to show him respect. They were going to abuse him. And then eventually, after the king would have had his fun with Elijah, then no doubt they would have wanted to execute Elijah in the front of everyone else in Israel to show as an example of what will happen to you if you go against the king. Okay, this is what was going to take place. They thought Elijah, and they marked him as being a criminal, someone who was against the king, because he did not tell the king what the king wanted to hear. What Elijah was doing was preaching what thus saith the Lord. And the king said, because of what you have preached, I take it as an insult. I take it as being an enemy of this king, and you are marked a criminal. Now, as we look at that, you know, there might be a time coming when a Christian will be marked as a criminal for preaching and teaching the very Word of God. I think that's coming. That's definitely within our sights right now as we look at our society and what all is going on around the world. But that is not unprecedented. That is something that we find Old Testament, even in the early church. If you would, look to Acts in chapter 5 with me. Acts in chapter 5. In Acts in chapter 5, and throughout this whole chapter, we find there's some things that are taking place, and the government in charge, the religious rulers in charge, did not want the disciples of Jesus preaching the word, preaching what he had taught. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all that they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison for preaching the word of God." Drop down to verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree.'" They didn't want to hear that, but it was the truth. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Okay, somewhat similar to what King Ahaziah is doing with Elijah. Look down to verse 40 again. Verse 40 down to verse 42. The Bible says, "And to him they agreed when they called the apostles." Now, they had one that stood up, Gamaliel, and told them that you can't fight against God. And he curved their anger toward the apostles. But they say in verse 40, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them," they still wanted to show their authority and their power over them. "They beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." So what we find going on in the Old Testament back in Elijah's day is something that the devil has used all along. He's trying to attack the message of God, whether in the Old Testament, whether it would be in the beginning of this New Testament church age, in the first century churches, or in every generation of churches since this time, since the beginning of the church age, there has been this kind of attack. So it's nothing new. We should not act as if this is something new when we are somewhat threatened by the government if we preach and teach what the Bible says. Now, we're going to continue to do that, as has all of God's children, Old Testament and New Testament, all of God's leadership, all of God's prophets, Old Testament, New Testament. But this is what's going on. King Ahaziah was angry and wanted to usurp his authority over Elijah, and that was disrespectful to God. Because all Elijah was doing was saying, "What thus saith the Lord." So therefore, he was showing no regard for God or Elijah, simply implying this: "I do not like what you're preaching, and I have the authority to stop you." That's what the world will think. But that's not what's going to happen. Because we will continue to have the Word of God. It's not going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away before the Word of God does. And as long as God's hand's upon the preaching of His Word, they cannot keep the Word of God from being proclaimed. God will make sure of that. And we find this to be true in what God was able to do then, He's able to do now. He's able to protect His preachers. He's able to protect His witnesses. He's able to protect those who have a desire to serve the Lord, and if they do exactly what God tells them to do, then God will watch over them. That's what the Bible teaches here. Go back with me now. Understanding that, the first 50, actually the first 51, verse 9 and 10. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of the hill, Elijah did, and he spake unto him, showing no respect. He did acknowledge him as being a man of God. Now, in that, if he is representing God, then what have you, who do you think you are to command anything from God? The king has said, who's a king compared to God? You make the decision. Or you rather choose to obey God or man? If you understand who God is, that decision is a simple decision. If God is who He is, and He is, then I had better be more concerned about the wrath of God than concerned about the wrath of man. Amen. And so we find here, that's what he's doing. He's showing no respect or regard for God, nor Elijah, but he does represent, he does acknowledge that he represents God. So now he knows what he's doing. And he said, and the king said, as if that gave him the authority over God, come down. Do you command God to do anything? Not if you're wise. And not if you truly know who He is. Well, and Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, you're going to experience it. If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. There was no one left to report back to the king. Sometimes we read this and think that, well, they knew that they were consumed. They didn't know that. Time had passed. They didn't hear anything from the captain of the 50 nor his 50. And so there was a second 50 sent out. The second 50. Verse 11. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. He did not know exactly what had taken place. And the words were used. Or he is one unintelligent man. So now, verse 11, the second group of 50 with a captain, so makes it 50, another 51 come, nothing learned. And so Elijah, because he was disrespected and God was disrespected even by the second 50, Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. All right, now, no doubt if you've been in church very long, you've read this, you've studied this, and you might have had different opinions. And there's some that say that, well, Elijah was really wrong. Elijah should not have called down fire to consume them. Well, I don't believe it was Elijah's choice. Elijah was a servant of God, and is evident when God told him to go, he went. Elijah was not acting on his own. Elijah was under the commandment of God to tell them what God had for them. And if they would fail to honor and respect God's servant, then they are failing to honor and representing God, to God Himself. And Elijah was not doing this because of a proud spirit. Elijah was just saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And Elijah understood as they come down and commanded him that they was actually trying to usurp authority over God. And the Spirit of God told Elijah, go ahead. Let them know what's going to happen. Now, it's something that they should have already realized that Elijah, with the power of God, was able to do. This has not been that long since Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and Elijah called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifices that the Baal worshipers and the Baal prophets of Baal could not do to prove that God, the God of Israel, the God of Elijah, he was God. And all the people acknowledged that the God of Elijah, he was God. These soldiers, and especially these captains, and not only that, King Ahaziah would have been alive, and they would have witnessed that. And yet they respond this way. It goes to show you the power of deception. It goes to show us how that Satan can and will blind the minds of those that do not humble themselves and fear Almighty God. So, right or wrong? Luke chapter 9. Jesus had a chance to address two of his disciples concerning if this is right or wrong. Luke chapter 9. James and John. Verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadily set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is Jesus right before his going to the cross. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Samaritans. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. But Jesus was going to go there anyway. Must needs be that he go through Samaria. He knew that. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The people there, for some reason, didn't think his heart was in it and thought that he was just passing through, and some of them did not receive him. Well, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Now, they're taking the Old Testament that they realized, and they understood that Elijah called down fire from heaven in the story that we're reading tonight and studying tonight, and now his disciples said, Lord, I'd like to see what it feels like. We know that Elijah was able to do that, and we know that this would be a good thing, and it's a good time for us to do this. Let's show these Samaritans how powerful you are and how powerful we are as being your apostles. Amen. Sometimes we somewhat forget, do not act in the right spirit, and instead of praying for somebody's salvation, we pray for fire to come down out of heaven to take them, just burn them up, kill them. They're an enemy. Is that really the right spirit? And was that the spirit of Elijah? And the answer is no. Look what Jesus says. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What manner of spirit? Elijah's actions were not based upon his anger, him being a proud prophet, him having an ego. It was not based upon his anger or his person. Elijah was following God's lead. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You see, Elijah could not have called fire down from heaven unless God told him to. The difference here was Elijah saying, Lord, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go with them when you tell me to go, or I'll stay and I'll call down fire if that's what you want. That's what you're going to do. I am your servant. He wasn't telling God anything. Two of the apostles had a lot to learn yet. And they said, let us do it. Lord, Elijah did it, so if Elijah did it, we ought to be able to do it. Let us call down fire. And it was not with the right spirit. It was a spirit of anger. It was a spirit of, we don't like the Samaritans anyway. Amen. That's right. We better check our spirit sometimes and why we want things done and how we're looking to help somebody and how we're wanting to serve the Lord and why we want the testimony of Christ to be exalted and why we want people to conform to the image of Christ in all different areas. Why do we want this? And the right spirit is very important. Not a spirit of hate, not a spirit of anger, not a spirit of pride, not a spirit of arrogance, but a humble spirit yielded to God. What's your will? What is the purpose right now? How would you use me in this situation? Well, matter of fact, Luke in chapter 10, look at the very next chapter. He sent them out to tell people, to prepare the way for the Lord and to tell people that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, was here. Luke chapter 10. Drop down to verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But unto whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, there's been many that would reject. Go your ways out of the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whether you reject it or not, that does not make it wrong, does not do away with it being true. It is the truth. If you die in your sins without receiving Jesus, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. It is true. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And there should be a sorrow because of that rejection of the truth of God. Isn't that something? I mean, right there is exactly what we are to learn from what's taken place with Elijah. Now go back with me. Go back with me. I've got one last point here to make. 2 Kings chapter 1. Because there was a third captain. And we learn how God would have had them respond. We learn how God wanted them to honor him and his servant. The wisdom, if you will, of the third captain. Verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. Same exact number. And now remember, there was none left to go back and report of the fire coming down from heaven and consuming the first captain and his 50, the second captain and his 50. I believe this captain was a man of wisdom. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. Now, he possibly observed, because he would have went the same way, two burnt spots. And in these two big blackened burnt spots, 102 mounds of ash. Possibly when he come up, he seen the one in the front and 50 behind him, and he probably with any wisdom all realized that's what happened to the first captain and his 50. And then right next to him at the bottom of the hill, right underneath Elijah's house, there was another burnt spot, and with 50 other behind him, and there was 102 humps of ashes there. And I think he could have figured out what that was, because he would have been there when Elijah called fire down from heaven back on Mount Carmel. He would have heard, and he might have been one with them saying, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God," even though the king did not want to acknowledge that. And so this third captain gives God the respect that he demands. And it brings us to this point. What do I do when it comes to obeying God or obeying man? God, if it comes to that point, versus laws of the land. What do I do when it comes to my job security versus my testimony? When they ask me to do something that a Christian ought not do. What should I do when I'm living with a unspiritual husband or possibly even a lost husband when it comes down to obeying him or not? What do I do as a Christian when my spouse wants to go a different direction away from God and I don't want to do that, but I find the Bible tells me to submit? When it comes to spouse, husband, headship of a husband, or God? When it comes to man's laws versus God's laws, what do I do? As a teenager in a home of an ungodly mother and father who wants me to go a different direction than what God wants me to go. We've had many in our church where the children were torn because they learned what the Bible says and then they see how mom and dad live and realize it's total opposites. What do I do? And the Bible tells me to honor them when they're living an ungodly life. How can I do what God wants me to do and still retain a relationship with the world? In closing, James chapter 1, I think it answers that. James chapter 1. What do I do? Can I tell you there's a lot of different scenarios? There's a lot of different things that we're going to face in life, and you're going to have to choose. And the Bible gives us a passage of Scripture to apply to that. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Well, they're going to face a lot of things as they're scattered abroad in different foreign lands and different things. My brethren, first of all, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials or testings, because God's aware of it all, and God's possibly allowing it in your life to test you, test your faith, to test your commitment to Christ. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And oh, how we need to have patience. You should not just jump into something without having spent time with the Lord, because it's all about finding God's will for your life. It's all about doing what God would have you to do. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then he gives this most powerful verse in the Bible that so many fail to remember it in their day and hour of trial. If any of you lack wisdom, you're trying to figure out what to do and how can I do this? Should I obey God or the government? Should I obey my boss or should I be more concerned about my Christian testimony? Should I follow him or not? Should I follow her or not? Should I obey and honor my parents or whatever the circumstances are? You have to have the wisdom that God wants to give you to make the right decision at that time. And if you are not understanding you need God's wisdom, then you will not ask God. And the Bible says God wants you to have it, but you have to ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Can I tell you, the first captain came. Elijah didn't know what to do. No doubt in my mind, Elijah, when that captain disrespected him and his God, Elijah said, God, how would you have me to respond? The Spirit of God says, call fire down. I think it put a smile on his face, but he was acting upon what God told him to do. The second one came. It was even more disrespectful. The very same thing. When the third one came, he was willing to go. And he went. Wisdom. The wisdom to know, for the captain to know how to handle the situation, saved him and his 50 men. For Elijah to know how to handle the situation, exalted the person of God. Wisdom is needed today and will become even a greater need as we draw closer to the rapture of the church. The question is, are we asking God for it? Something simple. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? It might make a difference in your home, your marriage, your work, your job. Let's use the wisdom that God gives us in responding to the circumstances and situations of life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. He wants you to have it, but you have to ask. It's a different wisdom for maybe a different place and time. Different circumstances. You're not going to find every circumstance in the black and white, but you can find God's will for your life and what He would have you to do in every circumstance you face in life. Turn to God and ask for wisdom. Don't make the mistake that the first two captains made. Not only did it cost them their lives, it cost them the lives of those that followed them. 102. Pray for wisdom. All right, now's an invitation time. We're not going to give a musical invitation, but there's an opportunity every time we preach the Word of God. There's an invitation right now. If you have a need for somebody to take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says, they can be somebody to help you. If you just want to come to this altar for whatever reason, it's available. It's open to you. possibly you just need to bow before God right where you sit, thinking of a situation, thinking of a battle, thinking of something that you're facing right now, and asking for wisdom to know how He would work through you in that situation. Wisdom. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to be in church tonight, for all the decisions that are being made even now. Pray that You'd strengthen them. God, help them to have that wisdom that You want them to have. And as they ask, that they would find that understanding, exactly what You would have them to do and how You'd have them to do it. Now be with us as we leave here tonight. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.